Okay, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:04 Eastern Time. Yeah, okay. So we're going to move to a, roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Saradek.
Present.
Ian Michael Lowen. Ian is absent at the moment. Eric Shibuya.
Present.
Thank you, Eric. Exero Pichowski.
Here.
Cool. Josie Marks McQuaid.
Present.
Excellent. Scott Kane.
Hello, here.
Thank you, Scott. Mike Sullivan, I actually just got an email. Mike's not going to be joining us today. He's absent. Afton Benson.
Present.
Thanks, Afton. Aaron Stevens. Aaron is absent at present, but maybe on later. Martin Frost.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Hmm.
That's a new one. All right, Noel Yee. All right, no Mr. Yee as of yet. So we're just going to move into approving the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion about approving tonight's the agenda?
I'll make the motion.
Holy macro. Razor thin. I'm going to give that to, I think, Xero. Was that you?
Yeah.
All right. Well done, sir. Do we have a second?
Hey, this is Eric. I'll second.
Thank you, Eric. Yep. Any discussion about tonight's agenda? All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose tonight's approval of the agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Agenda is approved. Okay. Moving to approve. All right, would someone like to make a motion to approve last month's minutes for October 30th? Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, welcome, guys.
All right, guys, I need a motion to approve the last month's minutes.
I'll make the motion. This is Louie.
Thanks, Louie. Second?
Scott.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks. Any discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes are approved. All right, guys, shaking down to the financial side of things. I got a few questions, but thankfully our treasurer, Afton Benson, is present. So do you want to preface anything, Afton?
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Okay, go ahead.
The P&L and the balance sheet are for through quarter three. Dennis is obviously still working on quarter four because we're not quite done with you yet. I asked him because we're running a negative right now on the P&L, which is like the number one thing that most people are going to look at and go, why is there a negative number? That's ridiculous. Because we've had more expenses this year than we have had in the past. IRCs have been doing more, and we've been doing more with less income in that regard. And then we also had some expenses with moving the archives from Nevada to Ohio. And some DVD expenses, if I recall, was the other one, which I do remember vaguely. So those are some additional expenses, which is why we're running a negative on the P&L. We had the money. It's not like this is problematic. It's just that no money came in to offset that, which is why I represented it as a negative number. Additionally, I was just informed that just the festival P&L is wrong.
What?
And it's, yeah, well, wrong because the money from Square went into, like, a different account. And so it wasn't, it was already represented, like, on the, oh, how did he say this? Sorry, I got out of a meeting and I talked to Dennis and I got on this phone call. Long story short, the money was in the wrong spot. Therefore, it didn't get recorded properly. So, that being said, in reality, we probably owe Dan Holtzman more money.
Oh, we've made even more?
Well, yeah, because the money for that was on Square may not have, and this is, I want Dennis to look into it further, it might not have been recorded accurately because it wasn't put into an account where he saw a deposit, if that makes sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. Could you elaborate a little bit more?
He saw my deposits, the cash deposits and the checks and things like that, and then only went off of, like, the numbers from Mike's reports, sort of, and this is my, like, in my brief 10-minute phone call, this is what I gathered. Sorry, so some of this is me assuming. By doing that, he thought that money was going into the bank account, but as he was reconciling the checking and all that jazz, he was missing these numbers, and then he figured out where it was. So I'm going to have him dig into it further. Dan had a cap on how much he could make, if I recall. So I'll dig into that, but it's just something of, like, a heads up. Like, we'll still have a really good festival. It's just, there's this extra money. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I didn't quite understand why it got missed, but it did, apparently. So I got to go back and look at the P&L and then look at the adjusted P&L, and I don't have those numbers yet. So when I do, I'll happily inform the board of it.
Thank you.
But, yeah. Just found that out. Like.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Whoops.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when it comes to Dan, we're going to honor contracts, agreements,
totally,
as written, you know. But
yeah.
I definitely am a little shocked that this oversight occurred, and just keep on it, work everything out with Dennis. I want no ambiguity, and once that's done, let us know.
You got it. Happy. Yes.
What's the amount of the difference?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm not going to give you the ballpark because I really have no idea.
I mean, is it tens, hundreds, thousands of dollars?
It's not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Not,
Dennis
not
said about
thousands.
15.
15,000 or 1,500?
You said 15,000, which is why I don't really think that that's accurate. So
15,000? That doesn't. I don't.
It would be all the. It would be all the credit card transactions. Is what I'm guessing from the Square stuff. So tickets sold on Square, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. And that's all, Mike takes care of all that. I, like, have always just been like, okay, you handle the Square stuff. So yeah, I need to figure out what exactly Dennis is talking about, but I had 10 minutes with him. So
this is incredibly bizarre. If you have a dialogue by email with Dennis, please CC both Mike and myself so we're all on the same page. I don't want there to be a mechanism that one of us understand or don't know about, because
I'm going to call him and have him walk me through the P&L. Like, I'm going to have him send me a new P&L and then walk me through it.
I want it written, not just explained how this happened, but I want written details about this whole thing.
Yeah. I just need to figure out what is going on exactly. And maybe he's misspeaking or saying it in a weird fashion that I don't understand, but anyway.
Wow. Okay. Well,
that is certainly floating in the ether of new, neat, exciting problems. In a positive-ish way, because it's not expenses that didn't get properly tracked. Well, I don't know if the money didn't get, if it got transferred to a weird account or if it was sitting in, like, you know how PayPal, you can have money just sitting in PayPal?
Yes.
I don't know if it was just sitting in the Square fund and, like, it didn't get reported to Dennis. I don't know where that came.
We've used Square for the past several years, and we've had the same bookkeeper and processes in play other than Quebec City when we had that weird
thing. I don't know if there was a transfer that was supposed to be done by Mike, or if Square, if something hiccuped with that, or if the money came in and he put it on the wrong line item. It didn't sound like that one, but.
Okay. All right. That's enough of this. Just keep on asking. I appreciate you looking into this and the explanation. Great.
We'll get one.
This is Noel. I just want to voice speaking of budget ambiguity. as I was going through last year's budget, the on-site sales, I guess, kind of going the line item route. If all of those were lumped and to those numbers and how they were lumped into those, just teaching notes for me to be aware of. But, you know, for example, there's on-site sales that take place, but how those sales exactly took place, I think, at least on the 2017 budget, not clear.
Well, and I was just checking your, I was looking at your budget actually, so I was not focused. My main beef, and it's not with you, is the fact that Mike and Dan chose to work outside of Google Drive and then just stopped updating the budget. So I'm going to go through the 2018 budget, Noel, and rewrite it with some line items for you to fill in. It's on the same sheet. I started a new tab.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that because part of the, at least, whenever you're ready, I will transition to my personal budget question. But I'll stop there. I would say that, numbers are absorbed into the on-site registration somehow, is my guess, unless there's some under-the-table numbers not on there, which seems kind of weird. So I just wanted to present that. That's it.
Yeah, good thoughts, Noel. Well, I'd like to suspend any further discussion on that till we get to the festival report section, but it's definitely good that that's on the radar for tonight. Okay, so...
So anyway...
Back to the P&L. So IRCs, do we really get $7,000 in donations?
Oh, I'm on the wrong sheet, sorry. For the IRCs? Well, if I recall, EWE was putting funding towards the IRCs. As well as Unimed, I thought.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay, I lost everyone there for a minute. So if anyone said anything, from what I understand, we got money from EWE and, there's on the P&L for under the finances. IRC's got $7,000 in donations, which, if I recall, was from EWE and Unimed.
This is from January through September 2017.
Yeah.
I don't think it was EWE. I think it was our other donors. We have a few other donors that have been giving to IRC.
Okay. Yeah.
Neil Fred is one. Arthur Lubell is one. And... Rick Rubenstein. So there should have actually been $7,500 for 2017 total, but some of that might have been paid last year. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, if it was in 2016.
But I know that on the, like, the reports that Mike gave me of what came through for the IRC, it should have been $7,500, I think, total for 2017.
Oh, man.
That's never good. That happened last time. And actually, $7,850 is what I have for the IRC for 2017 that I had confirmed was donated. But again, I'm not sure exactly when those were made. I just know there were a lot for this year.
Yeah, and when they come in is when it matters on the P&L.
Hey guys, sorry about that. My internet went down apparently.
Welcome back.
You came back.
Yeah, going old school. Alright, sorry. So, IRC donations.
Yes, it sounds like we do have at least that much in this year.
Okay, is that all from UNAMED?
No,
it's from some other donors.
Yeah, it's from various donors, Nathan. 5,000 from UNAMED,
okay.
And the rest is from other people that matched UNAMED's donation.
Oh, okay. That answers that. Cool. All right, other questions. Is our web hosting fees really $7,000 a year?
Yeah, I thought that was always just like a horrible high number.
Is that the YM charge?
Yeah, isn't that part of the YM thing? Is that is crazy expensive?
I don't even know what that thing is. I've never been able to wrap my head around that, so.
That seems outrageously high to me.
I was under the impression that it was about $5,000 a year, but I could be wrong. And the first 3 years were paid by a donor,
To give you a really cool comparison, last year, 2016, quarter three, web hosting was $12,433.88.
From one company?
Interesting.
Wow. I can't tell you. I'm just telling you the P&L from quarter three of 2016 compared to the P&L of quarter three 2017. That's where that one lies. Let me just check. I'm just trying to pull the P&Ls from earlier this year, but of course I can't find them as quickly as I want to.
And even if our donor covered it, wouldn't that still be right to list it on the P&L? So it might be that.
Yeah, it would still be listed.
Covered by our donor.
Yep. So quarter one was still $7,114.88. So, yes, that's how much the web hosting is.
That's an annual. That sounds like an annual amount, not a quarter.
It's an annual one. Yep, it's the annual one, because that was how much it was in the first quarter as well.
But we also have a couple of, well, maybe we're only paying, are we only paying on one service? Only one paying, one company for web hosting right now? I mean, we're going to have to be paying a second one as soon as we get off GSGs. But hopefully nothing near that. It's not just web hosting. It's the entire service, by the way, that YM gives us for membership services.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had thought it was the YM service, because that's $6,000 or something like that a year. We can look up the exact amount, but I believe it's $6,000. But UNAMED was supposed to be covering that for the first 3 years, I believe, and like paid that in advance for covering those expenses.
And the expenses, whether covered, the expenses covered or not, it's still going to show up on the P&L, because it's still
right. Right, I just think we're trying to figure out if that's the expense that's covered by UNAMED or if it's something else. Because I think the server that we're actually on, the web hosting, is free because we're a non-profit, is what David's always said, right? Like we get this
nice special deal for
our actual... Okay,
that's
not free.
That's for DreamHost, not for YM. YM is a separate thing. DreamHost is a separate company, and there are two different websites. So the DreamHost
is free currently, and then YM is monthly.
We'll probably have to add some new cost of $1,200 or $1,500 a year for real web hosting on DreamHost or somewhere else when we leave GSG.
Yeah.
So the $7,114 is for the year.
Okay.
For web hosting.
Clarification. Yeah, on that same line item for communications, do you happen to know offhand what the 6,531 is? I mean, I know we rent out like, you know, AccuConference, but what encompasses that six thousand plus amount?
Yeah, that I don't know. Looking to see if it's Yeah, that I'd have to check on. It looks like in quarter one we spent $2,100 in that area. So I'm just gonna getting back to my email with Dennis so I can ask him what all is falling in there. Maybe it's just in the wrong line. Or it could be in a better line, I guess, not even so much the wrong line, a stronger line.
Yeah, I'm just those two kind of jumped out at me under communications between that and web hosting. We're at almost 15,000 if.
Yeah, the web hosting, not so much it is. I mean, that's how much it's been.
But if communications keeps compounding through, we'll be looking at almost 9,000 a year.
Totally. Got it, Mark.
All right, cool. Next question. What is the 8,000 for video production that, you know, I'm the video coordinator and that doesn't seem to correlate with what we've actually spent? Is that, I know we had like multiple DVDs last year.
Right, and then at the beginning of this year, didn't we do a bunch of compiling or I don't know if we archived or if we changed things off of a certain media level. The board voted on a different expense like that we weren't expecting regarding video handling, if I recall. And that's what Dennis was saying, is that's one of the areas that was higher than it usually is.
Okay, I remember we did do a reimbursement for some archival footage.
And I think that's what that was.
So I guess between paying out, was it two or three video editors plus that? Okay, that'd probably be about that-ish.
Handling, two or three video editors at of 1,500 to 2,000 each or so.
Right.
Still seems a little high to me, but I guess even if we had that many plus the archival footage, that would make sense.
Does that include any cost of videographers at the festivals? Are we paying, hotel bills or anything like that?
Yes. We're paying Jayco's just pure festival expenses, so I imagine that probably factored in there quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess that makes
theory would be under the festival expenses.
Yeah.
I don't know what archival cost, video archival fee is, though, that you mentioned.
Scott, I'm sure you can elaborate on this, but we had recently acquired some video footage, I think it was from Paul Bachman, that was digitized.
Yes.
And put on E-Juggle, and the E-Juggle, and the fee was covered by the IJA for... because it was used on an IJ medium.
Yeah.
So the cost. This is the cost of digitizing this stuff?
Yes.
That was part of it. I mean, I'm assuming multiple factors involved in that video fee, but that was likely part of it because it was a video expense.
How much was the video expense for Scott? Do you know?
Yeah, it was between $400 and $500 in the $400 range.
Okay.
The board passed a motion to.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
All right. My next question, looking at travel, we have a line item for IRCs for $250 in travel, and then one that just says IRC expenses, $8,188. So if we're paying $250 for travel.
That's probably travel. And prizes is my guess.
Then what's the travel?
I'm guessing those are just in the wrong columns. I'm putting it on my list. I can't tell you.
Okay. So,
my assumption is the 8,000, a majority of that is travel.
So we're spending that much on travel for IRC each year?
That's not the total amount for sure.
Travel, prize money, and medals are the main expenses. And then marketing.
Getting this and it's not, we don't need to break them all out right now. If Dennis is getting the amounts and he isn't clear where they're supposed to go, that could be part of the problem. Or, if he, for some reason, with the holidays, was rushing to put this together for me. So I was like, hey, dude, quarter three. he could have just been putting stuff in and wanted to get it in. So I will clarify what is in there. But to me, that number doesn't seem outrageous from what I've seen for approved IRC expenses.
And also, I have the budget with all the expenses that I've had. I included it in my IRC report that outlines all the expenses. And I actually have it at a higher expense than that, but I also have a higher income. Just add that.
I'll look at your report, too.
Yeah.
Is income just being donations?
It's 7,850 donations, and then it was the IJ contributions that was agreed from the annual budget, and then carryover from last year's donations.
Yeah, and the carryover from donations and the carryover from expenses or things like that, like Aaron's running total is not represented on this P&L.
Right, and so, and I've
shared this with that's not how it works.
Dennis and Afton and the whole board in the past to be able to keep track of all the financial pieces, but
yeah, the amounts I've seen on IRC on the IRC expense lines, they're not outrageous amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they're not in the right columns, and that could just be, I mean, we don't need to put 10,000 different items, you guys, there's already a lot of line items on this P&L, so, but knowing what's in there
and
is always good.
Right, and I do have a separate spreadsheet for anyone who wants to look at it, so that is linked in my IRC report for anyone who wants to see. And it's got the tabs for 2015, 16, 17, and then projected for 2018.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, so my last question, Afton, you know, I'm kind of working on 2018 budget right now, and, you know, I'm pretty much every program officer has requested a fairly modest budgetary increase. If we're currently loading an annual loss of 16 grand and counting, what, we can touch base more on later, but what primary source of advice for budgeting would you recommend for this coming year?
I would maintain the budget we currently have based on the fact that we have not been bringing in as many individual donations.
Okay.
That would be my advice. We obviously, we're lucky enough as a nonprofit to have reserves and to have private donors. If these areas want an increase, that would be something that at this point, the IJA fiscally cannot sustain. However, it's not out of anyone's reasonable amount to ask one of our private donors or to find donors on their own to support that project. For instance, the youth juggling program that Galen and Ellen operate for the most part, they have a private donor who gave them a chunk of money to use and donated it to the IJA so that it went to just that area or was earmarked for that. But that was something that they actually worked out, like, on their own.
Right. God, my internet keeps cutting out. All right, so, okay, I'll approach the budget with that in mind, likely. Such
and we can chat more later, too.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Afton, that answers all of my questions for the time being.
I'll get you more answers once I hear from Dennis.
No, I appreciate you. I didn't expect you to have everything, so thank you for that. And board members, any other questions, comments?
Done.
All right. Thank you again. Moving on to the festival report. Noel, I see you attached a report, or you submitted that to me. Very nice. Would you like to preface that?
Well, I'll say there's been a lot of areas I've succeeded and a lot of areas I still have some confusion. They're mostly listed on the document and kind of gone a little while, so I sort of want to go quickly through this.
But I definitely think, I think it's on there. Sorry, I'm on my phone. There's been a lot of shows happening going on. Lots and lots of that moving and grooving. I was trying to work off the old budget, and I'm really glad that Afton voiced some communication before, because I'd really like to meet with you, Afton, to just work with you and a couple of sort of lay this out how you want it easiest, because kind of go off last year is really tricky, in terms of how I was projecting, and it's just like, it was messing me up, and, I just would like some communication with you about how to set it up before me, and me and Parsa kind of messed with it a little bit, but really dive fully into the budget. But as the general business person will say, the budget is a living, breathing document that will continue to morph and change. At this point, I've been very conservative projections on the budget. You can just take a look. I've increased the ticket price by $5 to $6. I know Mike was a big fan of $249 and $199, but I'm pretty, I don't care about that number, about having it a dollar less. But I've increased those numbers. You can see that at the top. I do have my major concern area, or at least my pre-festival task that I need the most guidance on is, and this maybe Aaron can help, maybe it's Martin, maybe it's Afton. I have a lot of confusion about the workflow from what this budget, these ticket items say to some other spreadsheet to YM or the content management system. That sort of workflow is a little bit lost on me. So that's one question I have. I don't think we need to answer all these immediately. Let me just lay them all out. So that's one major question I have. And then another one is, you can see here, I just have some questions for Afton. I need some contractual, just double-checking. Some of that might be Mike, but I would say you and I, Afton, in our meeting, even if it can take 30 minutes, can kind of go through some of the contracts, and you can start prefacing them, and we can start discussing how to list them as a line, because right now it's sort of just yep. done randomly. For example, one of the most confusing parts is that all the profit is at the top of the document, but it's kind of like bizarrely, and it's like, I mean, not the actual formatting of how to sell that up, it's just how it's laid out, and I feel like maybe if they were in better areas, we could do a little better. I see that you've made a second one there, but if we can work on getting the budget moved from its current state over to there, that'd be great. And then, yeah, so you can see below, I have the pre-festival task list from Mike, what I have continued to poke through, namely, it's right now we're settling up all of the shows. The shows are settled as the per usual shows, namely Welcome, Youth, and Individual Teams, and Cascade as the four main shows. With we're hoping two to three side shows still. That would be sort of pay on site. And I mean, there is some questions when I get to how I pass information along about how I list, like, are we going to sell? I'm a fan of not selling pre-event any of the special shows, but I'm open to conversation about that. But some of the other things were, like, wrapped in there that somebody would be able to get all of the shows in, like, some total package. But I don't know, a lot of the ticketing there and stuff is on a hold up. There's an email chain actually that just was restarted again yesterday with Mike and Shavela about passing on the registration knowledge. But this is kind of where I'm at. I've also been unable, and it's totally my fault, to communicate with Aaron, but I have been meeting pretty regularly with Ross to try to get some of our original acts kind of nailed down. There are some that are pretty confirmed, and that is where I am at. You said 5 minutes, so there we go.
All right. Thank you very much, Noel. A few comments here. I really, really like what you said about the budget being a living, breathing thing, keeping that today very good. A little concerned that we're still kind of in, like, the preliminary stages of that. Do you think it would be possible to touch base with Afton maybe in the next week or two and then forward the updated budget to the board as well as, I guess, Mike and Martin and whomever else, and then we could kind of give feedback, because I would really like this budget 100% for the time being before the end of the year. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I guess one of the things to write down is, what does So, for example, what I was going off of is the things that cost money last year, right? And right now you're also saying that things that cost money last year are not in this budget. So that is automatically alarming for me. And, like, the way you made money. Well, because I took the areas that you listed here, right, the areas that were listed in Dan's budget, and I basically copied those over, and then I sort of, like, looked at them and talked with, Ross about some of the higher budget things aside from the venue. And so basically what I would like to do is, I could say that's potentially possible, but I need to know what final looks like to you, because when you say that, that confuses me too.
Well, final, obviously, it's going to continue to get updated, but that's going to basically be a reflection of an anchor projection of anticipated expenses and anticipated projected income and expenses, so we have a rough idea of what the bottom line is going to be, and we can make sure that all the numbers make sense, and that kind of helps you when you're finishing up booking talent and, you know, doing additional expenses to make sure that we're at least on the correct path. You know, obviously you don't have to follow this to a T, but at least so we have, like, the initial mold of what's going to be the living, breathing document. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And if that doesn't make sense, let me give you an example. I walked into Quebec City having been the treasurer for 6 months. And Veronique said, I need to talk to you about my budget. And I said, well, we're already in the middle of the festival. The budget's irrelevant at this point. We should talk solid numbers because they're actual factual things now. And she had budgeted, like, selling more seats than were available to the venue, and things like that. And so, yes, it's a living and breathing thing. However, it needs a point where it doesn't change anymore, and that's the goal, is to get those numbers.
Totally. And I would say...
The budget should include all the expenses that you expect to have, all of them. It may not have the amount for those expenses, but there shouldn't be any, you know, surprise $10,000 here or there for this facility. If you need to add something later, then the budget has to be revised and the board has to approve, you know, a new expense of something large. But, you know, if it's just a few tens or dozens of dollars here
or
there.
Most things can change.
Yeah, and I would say that if you take a look at the bottom line, roughly, I would say that a conservative guess is that's how much I would make saying, and I know that seems like a minimum, but that's saying that I only sell 200 regular price tickets, right? That's being hyper-conservative. I would anticipate this would be the highest-selling IJA ever. It'd be up there, at least due to its location, but I don't want to say that, if that makes sense. So, like, as a conservative number, this amount of money, I believe I can make. Fair, we do a terrible job, around $3,000. But in the excess of positive, significantly more than that. And so, like, what I can say is that this is, and I'm not saying I'm not willing to work with Athens to make this better. I see her other sheet is the income sheet. Maybe you make an actual expense sheet or something separate, I don't know, but however we do it, I'm willing to transfer over what I know into the new budget format, but it's more, this is how much I believe I can do. Right now, at the worst case scenario, that's what I believe I can do.
Right, and so some things that are in here that I don't know if you, because I understand, Dan and Mike did the budget in a fashion that was entirely different than we usually do. You have all these adult premiums and adult comps and all that, the premium upgrades, et cetera. Are you doing a premium upgrade ticket thing? Because if not, you need to take all that out, and that's like $8,000.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, so again.
Those are the things that I'm just going to type up a normal plain Jane. Here's what's usually the bare bones minimum for the IJA things we sell.
Okay.
And then you and I can talk and go from there. I will say, historically, this festival is going to be down in attendance. Mm. Last year was our up year. The year before that was a down year, and the year before that was an up year.
I think that this year is likely to be up a little bit
because it's in the Northeast, and we haven't had a festival there. Now, not counting Quebec City, which is way out in the corner.
Yeah.
We haven't had one in sort of central New England for a long time. So I suspect that that will help attendance. Because it's a high density of people and therefore jugglers in that area compared to, say, the Midwest.
I'm just going off historic data of number trends for the festival.
So I feel like we can maybe accelerate to other questions, but I do believe, again, I can own that a part of this is significantly veiled for me, and I'm interested in dispelling this to some extent. So I don't
know.
I'm moving this week, and I've always wanted to partner with you to ensure that this has been a thing that made sense. And so if we could meet perhaps, I don't know, Wednesday or something, Wednesday through Friday at some point, Wednesday, Thursday, or next week. I'm moving this week, but I'm willing to do that, spend some effort into finalizing this to a place where we all believe that we can feel successful as, you know, supporting the IJ and also the event itself. So that's
yeah, totally.
All right, good. I like this. Yeah, Noel Afton, touch base. Do me a favor, regardless of where you are with the budget, within the next 2 weeks, send out an email to, like I said, the necessary people. We'll give feedback. You know, we can work with you to kind of finish this, but I want to keep moving forward and kind of have the groundwork laid well before the end of the year. So, you know, good idea, but that's what I'd like to see happen. Okay. A few other things, Noel, I wanted to mention. So I think we're kind of poised to start amping up some of the marketing. Do you think you can kind of like start throwing together maybe just some like quick, I don't know, newsletter content or like little announcements that we could kind of start promoting maybe starting next month?
Yeah.
Do you think
it
would probably behoove us if we could do at least one major special guest announcement before the end of the year. Is that feasible? Yeah.
Well, there are multiple special guests where we have to sign, but contracts are out.
We need contracts signed before we can announce, but I'd really like to start handing those out pretty soon.
Well, there's definitely many of them out. Many of them are out. There's one that's pretty confirmed, so they're like, it's New York locals, but I'd say that, we're working. Definitely Ross and I met in person last week. Ross and I have been in conversation over the phone over and over again. So it's in the works for sure. And you can check out the progress of Ross's document.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Sure. That's great.
And from a marketing perspective, just, I know me and Noel haven't been connecting, but I've just been doing a few things here and there, promotion-wise, like posting the theater venue, talking about the honorary awards, nominations and stuff like that. And just kind of using past stuff to promote future stuff at this point until we get more knowledge about the future stuff. Everything's been pretty well received.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely agree, and we definitely need to start amping up the content. So, yeah, just let us know.
Do we have a logo?
What's
up? Do we have a logo for next year's festival?
Yeah, we have
a logo. Is that the official one?
We have a design, yeah. It's on our website. It's on our Facebook pages.
Exactly. Is that the final
logo?
I would say it's logo in what way for the T-shirt? Is that what you're asking, Martin? As a final thing, or do you mean
the logo? The logo is an advertisement tool. It's a brand. It's a fixture that should be used throughout the marketing on the T-shirt. At the festival, on the program, on the flyers, a logo, you might change it slightly to fit certain sizes, but basically there should be one design.
This is the logo then, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good to know.
It's a little fresh.
We've had that since.
That discussion. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's okay. And we've had that, since right before the last festival, so that was great. And I've been in touch with the designer, Cassandra, who made it, and she's down, like she already created an extra sized image of it for me for the website and different things, so she's super responsive and great with adjustments as we need it.
All right, cool. So let's try to maybe shoot for a goal of getting one special guest announcement and at least one block of marketable content done prior to the next newsletter. When would that typically go out, Martin?
Well, it might go out just before Christmas, or it might go out just before New Year's, December, 1 month. We sometimes
right,
get it out early, but my guess is just before New Year.
All right, let's shoot for maybe Friday the 22nd, if that's possible. And that'll put us in a good spot for next year with the festival. Cool. Last question, comment for me, Noel. The Awesomeness Fund, we do have commitment from UNAMED to resurrect that. Did you want to kind of set up getting a committee together, or if you want that off your plate, I can reach out to the people that did it last year or other people you think is necessary and work out the details there. Just kind of want to get your feedback on that issue.
My only feedback, and I want to be totally honest with everyone, and I know I may offend some people, I'm down for it to happen, but it cannot be spent on the gauntlet. It cannot be spent on the gauntlet. That is my only concern, just as an activity that doesn't provide much to many, and that would be my only comment. So, yes, you can put people together, but I don't like that from a festival director standpoint.
No, I think that's fair, Noel, and we have had both the gauntlet team and Una at one point, I believe Una said this, but I know the gauntlet team did, is they said they wanted to kind of step away from that because it was such a huge time sink and expense, so I think that's fair. Do you have any guidance beyond that? Do you want me just to reach out to the people that we had last year?
Who are the people from last year?
I can tell you most of them. Let's see. It was chaired by Will Murray. Then we had Chris Yost. There was, I think, Sam Malcolm was on it.
Becca Smith, no? Becca Hammond?
She was an advisor. She wasn't officially on it, but then she ended up being involved in it because she ended up going to the festival. So I'd probably ask her to be on
Biz?
It. Like, Biz, yes, Biz was on it. We had, that club passing guy wrote that book.
Okay, that's cool. I'm open to many of those people. For example,
Matt Wise?
Matt Wise, thank you, Martin. Holy moly, good memory. Yeah, Matt Wise. That was the last one I was thinking of.
So yeah.
Nathan,
yeah, go
how
ahead
much
and
did...
That's it.
What?
Was there an amount that usually is, I believe it's five, but...
I believe it was $4,000 last year, but I would obviously, of course, confirm an amount ahead of with Una beforehand. Una did commit to the funds, but before I gave the committee a number, I would confirm that with Una first.
Totally.
So, but I'm guessing it would probably be around that same amount.
And Evie was doing brunch again this year.
Correct.
That's
great. 100%. Although, you know, you wouldn't know. Well, you can look into this, but I believe there was some mention of maybe deferring brunch later in the day because it was already like a meal option around that time or something. I don't know. But I remember hearing something about that. Yeah, whatever. Just use your due diligence.
I hate it.
I think it was something with the hotel offering free breakfast.
Yeah, that
oh,
makes
sure.
Sense. So, yeah, I would look into that just to kind of, you know, fine-tune your timing and make it a little more logical and boom for the buck for the attendees. But all right, that's all I have, Noel. Board members and officers, do you have any more questions, comments on the Festival 2018? Noel, do you need anything else from us? Any comments, questions?
Someone needs to tell me how, once I have the ticket prices and stuff, how I get that to YM. Do I get that in some kind of document to Martin? Is that the idea here, or does that go to some company? Like, what's the deal with that?
You mean
You mean how do we set up the actual registration page? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Mike has been doing that. I don't know if he's still willing to do it this year, but we do it through their event pack, their event software.
Okay, so that means that Mike would have to pass on or be willing to add those to the site. Okay. Now I know.
Yeah, I would suggest put everything together, Noel, then we'll sort out the technical side of getting that migrated over when the time comes. So just get everything kind of in place so it's poised, and then we'll work out the technical details.
Okay.
Excellent. All right, any final thoughts? Moving on to, thank you very much. All right. Moving on to future festival sites. I got an email from Mike. He just said nothing to report. We're looking like we're in good shape. As you board members know, we're pretty well booked in advance. We're in good shape. Any thoughts, discussions, future festival site planning? Moving on to eJugger report. Scott submitted a report. He missed a couple months, so he was kind enough to submit some additional numbers, 3 months worth in this report. Any discussion?
Those are expense reports?
They include expenses and breaks down the payouts to all the contributors, correct.
Not views, but payouts. Okay.
Yeah, nothing on use yet, really. But he is negative $53 for the year so far. He spent a little more than the budget. So where did that $53 come from?
Was he over budget last year? I mean, under budget last year?
That could be it, possibly.
Yeah, I'd have to go through our year-end financials to see what the exact standing was last year in terms of expenses for each other. But I'm willing to give him some due diligence with $53 since we've still got a couple months left in the year.
Yeah.
So that's not a concern of mine, really. Any discussion?
I assume the bottom part of his report is for later on.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to membership. Any thoughts on membership numbers?
Can you actually tell us, so I don't have to look at the number?
Right now it's 1,030 and 1,279. 1,030 membership records, total members including family members, is 1,279. And that's been the same for the last few months. And breaking that 1,000 mark is, you know, it's been something we're leading up to and bouncing around for the last year.
Yeah, I will say this. We're actually up a fair bit than what we were 1 year ago at this time. So that's actually pretty impressive. I don't know whether to attribute that to a spike in, you know, attendance last year with people joining the IJ, but that's actually a very good thing.
Yeah, festival attendance does cause the membership to go up and down as people join or leave for the festival.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think it was because there were so many more people looking at the exact one-year increment. There's more people now than there was exactly 1 year ago at this month.
Yeah, we're 10% more than last year at this time.
Very good. All right, any more discussion? Moving to marketing. Aaron, I see you attached a tiny report.
It's tiny. I figured since I'm here. And, yeah. Yeah, basically, I just wrote that due to the holidays. It was hard to create a large report. I've been on the road for the last 9 days. I just got home. And, yeah, but things have been going well. Me and Matan have been meeting regularly. We're getting on a nice fluid process for post-creation for things like eJuggle articles. And feel like in the next couple weeks we'll get it all dialed in where we can start preloading posts where they'll be able to post automatically from Hootsuite. And yeah, and on that note, at this point I'm planning to set up a Hootsuite account with, we had Martin create, or at least include Matan in a marketing@juggle.org email, and just to create a separate IJA Hootsuite account, a free account for that email, so that it can just be passed on to whoever is in charge of marketing in the future. Rather than using my personal account.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, yeah, and then we're planning to do a bunch of seasonal holiday promotions for things like the video, I mean the props, what's it called, Nathan? The prop companies?
Props to you?
No. Yeah. No, sorry, the prop companies, that, the vendor discount.
Vendor discount program.
Yes, to highlight, to do little highlights of each of the different vendors that people can get discounts from when they have a membership. So that was a suggestion by Nathan that I thought was great. And Nathan, have you made any progress with getting content from those guys?
Yes. Good news, bad news. Good news, okay. I was able to reach out to all the vendors about a week and a half ago. I asked them if they could have them to me by today. Literally only one person responded.
Okay.
but that said, the one person that did respond had a pretty cool image. So I don't know, maybe you could just kind of do like a general campaign, but say then, and here is the happy holidays from one of our vendors, or if you want to, you know, highlight them with their logos.
Right, with their logos, or just like finding a cool picture on their website with
text
or something.
Yeah, and then I'll go ahead and forward you over the one that did respond, because it's pretty cool.
Who is
I might even send it to you as well, Martin. Three finger juggling.
Oh, fun. We had thought they might do a fun one.
Yeah, he's like, Neil, like, pose in front of this wall. Looks like he's juggling like 9 different danger props, and this is like season's greetings, all of it. It's really cool. So I might send that over to the newsletter as well, because I think it might be good to kind of highlight the vendor discount program there as well. So. But yeah, I'll get that over to you.
Yeah. Cool. So that's a plan for upcoming. And then also I did one post with the Smile, Amazon Smile,
sure.
Promoting that. And I'm planning to do a boosted post of that sometime soon, just really targeting our members specifically and also people, jugglers in the U.S. So, yeah, hopefully we can get people going that way. I spent my first money towards the IJA on Amazon Smile last week. Quite exciting.
Oh. You walk the walk, I see. Very nice.
Hey. Yeah. So. yeah.
Well,
and
just real quick, new board members, do you know what Amazon Smile is and how it works?
Yes.
No. Okay,
and
does anybody not?
And if not,
yeah, I'm familiar with it.
And if not, why haven't
I used it today.
All right.
So, I can explain it.
If you want to, in a real quick, in a couple sentences.
Yeah, so basically just if people go to AmazonSmile.com instead of just Amazon.com, or Smile.Amazon.com, I think it is, they can select the IJA as being a recipient of Amazon funds, and Amazon will donate 0.5% of whatever purchases made to that nonprofit. So we're just encouraging people, and that doesn't cost anything else to the people purchasing things. It's just a donation from Amazon.
Here's a quick question. We've mentioned this, you know, once or twice a year in the e-newsletter, but I don't believe we've mentioned it on the website itself, other than in the newsletter that's posted there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that one of the reasons they do this is they want us to mention it on our website so they get some free advertising. So the question is, do we want to give them free advertising and mention this on the website, or do we want to just limit it to the e-newsletter?
I'm fine with it being on the website. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Likewise.
I think it'd be cool on the donate page, we could just have a little blurb at the bottom saying.
I mean, they're literally giving us free money, so if they want a backlink at the bottom, that is completely okay with me. And they might even have, like, a suggested copy or widget that implements as well, so I'm completely okay with that.
Everybody already knows Amazon so well, I don't think it's anything sneaky or anything. I think it's a good thing that we could promote it on our website. I think that would be fine.
Yeah, unless any board members object, I'm okay with it.
I'd like to hear from more board members, or if everybody is okay with it, you can be quiet, but I just want to encourage any objections, if you have any, to posting such an, you know, effectively an ad, but just basically a little description of the service on the Save the Donate page, as Aaron mentioned. Any other comments from board members?
This is I'm fine with it.
This is Xero. I'm okay with it. I actually used it today because somebody reminded me that it existed.
Nice.
Yeah, so maybe that's what we need to do. We need to remind more people. So if it's on that website.
Yeah.
Josie, Ian, any thoughts?
All right. I'm not too familiar with Amazon Smile. I'm kind of trying to look it up right now.
I think it's great, and I think it's pretty not that well known by a lot of people, so I totally support it, using it and, like, advertising for it.
Okay.
Quick.
Yeah.
Quick, here's a quick summary. If people go to smile.amazon.com and they select the IJA as their charity, then 0.5% of their purchase price, I believe it is, 0.5% goes to the IJA. And it doesn't cost them anything. I mean, it doesn't cost the buyer anything. Amazon gives up 0.5% of their income to the charity involved. Which we've gotten, I don't know, $50 a year, maybe a little more this year, I don't know. I think it was about $50 a year or two ago. Not a lot, but helps.
Yeah, I mean, it's small, but at the same time, it requires no real effort from us other than periodic promotion. So it's just a great thing. It's very nice. All right, website team. I mean, that being the case, use your judgment. Implement as you feel necessary. If you need any more direction, feel free to reach out to the board. But, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Do you know if it's on all items or just select items?
As far as I know, on everything.
All
of them. I'm pretty sure it's everything.
But you do have to be signed into smile.amazon.com.
Yeah,
I just... And select the charity, and it'll come up. Yeah.
If you do a search, you have to spell out International Jugglers Association to find it. It doesn't find it by IJA, but I did find it.
Right.
Yes, correct. But once you select it...
Additionally...
Go ahead.
If you use it one time, when you go to amazon.com, Amazon reminds you, hey, you used to use smile.amazon.com, and you can just change sites.
Thanks.
Whee. All right, guys. I feel like we covered that pretty thoroughly. So unless there's any more discussion about Amazon. Okay.
Or on marketing.
One more point about Amazon.
Marketing. Oh.
Yes, we can go back to marketing.
Marketing, okay. yeah, and just to touch on this note, too, something just to let the board know that transpired this last couple weeks also was setting up the IJA with being able to receive fundraising and donations through the Facebook platform, and that was discussed with Nathan and Afton and Dennis. It's kind of like a similar thing to this smile.amazon.com type thing, is that people can select saying, hey, I want to host a fundraiser for this nonprofit, and they can choose the IJA or even like have a donate button at the bottom of a post or something like that that says donate, and it too would then, you can select International Jugglers Association, not IJA, same with Amazon Smile, and then people can raise money through the Facebook platform for the IJA. So I thought, yeah, we all kind of agreed that was just a cool free service that they're providing, and went through the steps to sign up for that.
Great. And that's all set up and everything, Erin?
It's set up. Yeah, we're waiting on like a final pending thing. It's already set up, and I did do a lot of research this last week. It's already set up where we can still be have funds attributed to us. It just doesn't go directly through Facebook. It's through this other group that they've partnered with. But like, I went and I tried to set up a fundraiser, and I could already select the IJ, and I was like, huh, why is that? It says I'm still pending, and so I did all this research. And so that, like, if you're registered as a nonprofit, you're automatically given the option of being selected. But by signing up through Facebook, the payments come directly through Facebook, and you get a little more reporting options and kind of tracking options and things like that.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Glad that worked out.
Yeah.
All right. Any more points here on marketing? All right, guys. Moving along to IRC. Also a report attached.
Cool.
You want to talk about this real quick, Aaron?
Sure. Basically, let me open it because I lost my place. Sorry, where was I? Yeah, things are going well with planning for 2018. A lot of excitement and energy. As I've written here, there are 9 confirmed hosts interested in hosting the IRC who I've gone through the whole process with and given them the proposal and what's entailed and all that. We currently have funding pledged from UNAMED and also our other donors who have donated the last few years to cover 6 of these like we had this last year. The expanding to the 9 would depend on fundraising and such. And I just started kind of touching on some of the pieces that I saw in Nathan forwarded me the email thread that's been happening about the proposal I have for the fundraiser down below, and so just kind of addressing some of those questions that were brought up. But it's up to you, Nathan, if you want to talk about that now, or should we wait till the motion?
I think it would make the most sense to talk about that during the motion.
Okay, that sounds good. But I did put a link there to the projected IRC budget for 2018, just a little bit of the background, and I know I've talked to the board about it before.
The budget link says I need permission.
Huh. Interesting. It should be under our IJA thing, so let me see why.
Looks like it works for me. Is anyone else having trouble?
I need permission too.
Interesting.
It's got all the past board members who have permission. Nathan Wakefield, Lloyd Timberlake, Ian. But for some reason, the new ones aren't on there. So, Exero? Right?
Yep.
Eric. Do you have a Gmail? Do you have a Gmail one that needs to be?
The real Exero at Gmail.
The real Exero at Gmail. Excellent. Eric, what about you?
It's eshibuya at fulbrightmail.org. One L in Fulbright.
Okay. It popped up for me. Great. Josie, do you need access? Or Scott or anyone else?
I can't check right now because my computer is freezing. I'm not
it's
sure.
josiejuggles at gmail.com, right?
Yeah.
I'll just send it just in case.
Cool. Thanks.
This Elizabeth is Scott. Kane. My wife. That's my daughter's, go ahead. I think it's under my wife's account, which is jcsingasong@hotmail.com.
JC what? Wait, can you access it right now? Or not?
I'm trying right now.
Oh, okay. Because it says that it's shared with something Kane. I think that's your wife, she said. So jcsingathon?
Sing a song. Yeah.
Sing a song at
Hotmail.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, sending.
All right.
Cool.
So that should be it, I guess. Yeah, we can talk about the rest in the motion.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Let's move to the report. Any questions on that? Comments?
Yeah, it seems like it's going really well, Aaron. Like, having seen this grow, it's been pretty amazing to see it. I mean, it's kind of what the vision of the International Jugglers Association should be going
totally.
For. I'm surprised it's taken this long to achieve this level of it, or like, you know, it's happened after 70 years of having the institution.
Well, I think social media made all the difference. You know, none of it would have been possible without the social media stuff happening at the same time and the really big social media push from the IJA at the same time. And they've really both worked hand in hand to make it launch, you know. And it's exciting because it's an amazing way to showcase jugglers from around the world, to connect jugglers from around the world. And in reaching out to some people about this fundraiser thing, people were just super excited to support it because they've been watching it grow too, and everyone's really excited about it in general. So it's kind of cool.
You know, the way these things work, Louis and everyone, is that somebody has to be behind it full speed, and that's Erin. And so she's been pushing this thing and doing lots of work. Just like Don Lewis started the e-newsletter, and, you know, that made it work. So you get one person who worked there for years. And I ought to point out that the IJA managed to start the European Juggling Convention. Don't forget, that's one of our big international credits.
Yes, that is
okay,
true.
Okay, great.
And World Juggling Day was started back in the day. Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of cool efforts by different people. And you just need that person, who's willing to sacrifice their time, sacrifice their lives for their passion. But it's been pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, so on that angle, so later on we have some motions for consideration. Some of those are increasing our budget. And we just talked to Afton, who said, hey, don't increase the budget. Like, it might be a bad move to do that right now. So there's this kind of, you know, juggling act we're doing a little bit with the, if this fundraising stuff works, then I feel like we can increase the budget and go for more IRCs. But if the, you know, like, it's kind of based on that next level, because obviously, as you see, it's not in the current IJA world to keep increasing at the rate we've been increasing these. So part of my mind is like, it's almost becoming its own side, you know, like a spinoff from the IJA in a way almost.
Mm-hmm.
That's affiliated
mm-hmm.
with the IJA. That can almost be your own spinoff sort of thing, especially when you have $27,000 coming in as the IRC director for if it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a half god right now. It's like multiple things. I don't quite know to place it. I don't know how to
from a nonprofit organizational standpoint, this is what we would call a project, and Aaron would have a project budget. It doesn't need to be its own thing. It's part of our overall mission, and it would be a project under the IJA. Just like the festival is a project under the IJA.
Okay, great.
And that's kind of what I approached it as when I first started it. Before I ever really, I mean, I dreamt of it becoming this big, I guess, but I never would have known what was actually involved to get it here. What the IJA was lacking was kind of projects to really make it seem like it had a big value other than the big festival every year and World Juggling Day. You know, E-Juggle is just starting and stuff, but like building more projects and so putting a lot of emphasis on World Juggling Day, doing the Props to You thing, starting the IJA regional competitions. The whole idea was to have projects that people would get excited about and really want to support, and thus, you know, shifting the overall mentality of what the IJA meant to people from where it was 6 years ago to where it is now. And so I think we've done that and we've accomplished that, and that's where I think the budgets start growing now, if they can be managed, and we also start, you know, focusing more strategically on things like fundraising, on things like membership drives, you know, but a lot of that comes with needing people to be paid in some ways to
have the skills and the abilities to be and time to fully be able to invest in things like fundraising and membership guides and things like that.
Yeah.
Those are hugely time consuming.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I agree. It's a project and I've added in the IRC director thing. That's been a discussion for new board members that's been going on for the last year or so, just kind of recognition that in order for the IRCs to continue growing, that position would ideally need to be paid because it's just become too much to do as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But also looking at this, I had put the amount of IJ contributions that what I'd requested from Nathan, so that would be from the annual budget. I put it at $3,500, I think is what I requested from him, and I just put it back at $2,400 after hearing what Afton said. So the actual IJA contributions from general budget, my goal is to do the rest through fundraising, but.
Yeah.
Time will tell if that's possible. It's a whole new world.
Yeah, it's a new fruit growing on this tree or something.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I guess my main concern here is, you know, there's a lot of work going into this, so it's definitely a high volume, but, you know, if the stipend is being raised strictly from donors, I'm wondering if that factoid would be, you know, turn off some of the donors knowing that some money would still be going to a pocket as opposed to a program. I mean, it is part of the program, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's funding the person, not the project.
Right. I guess most of the people I've talked to, of the donors that I know of, have been like, well, it's about time, when I've told them that I'm you know, saying that I need to look at, and not necessarily me getting paid, again, I'm putting it out there that it's the IRC director, whoever that is. But
hopefully it will
be you
in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do it, but if somebody else feels like they can take it on and with a gusto, you know, they can apply for the role as well, whatever. But most people have been, like, super supportive, saying that this is an amazing program. They know how much, they can see how much work is involved, and they're super supportive of the person doing that work to get paid because of how much work is involved. And
so far from what you've seen, it hasn't turned
community.
Off either. Great.
No,
great.
It's been quite
helpful. And I trust
so,
you because you're the one who's talking to all these people the most and going, putting this effort in. So hearing that is great. Hearing that you've already kind of addressed that a little bit.
And I've tried to be, at least with the donors we already have, I've tried to be like transparent about that. Like when requesting for this upcoming year, just saying, hey, just FYI, it is my goal to start getting paid for this. Like in the med, I think I said it to them in an email. I said it to the other personal donors. So.
And when you say it's a project of the IJA, a project sometimes has somebody who's getting paid on that project.
Most nonprofits
run
have a project manager who's paid,
yes. Yes, exactly.
Most nonprofits
have that. So it's not, so when people donate to it, they, you know, they assume that some of that money, it goes to the project,
expenses
and some
of,
goes to the project director,
right.
Some goes to marketing of that project, some goes to the awards of that project. It's not like it's all given to the winners of the festival or something. It's,
Right.
Some understanding.
Follow-up question to Nathan's point, because the way, and I'm sorry, I read this, like, hyper-fast, and you and I talked very briefly last night, Aaron. The fundraising campaign that you're doing the push for on Facebook is going to be entirely directed to the IRCs. That's the intent, correct?
That's the intent, but, I mean, that depends
on
the
Totally. Beyond that, my main concern, and this is where nonprofit fundraising gets mucky and weird, that if people are for some reason unaware of the fact that it's going to a project, that's more likely where people, and I don't think most of the people that you're going to bring in for donors are going to be those people who are like, I didn't know it was going to a project. I wanted to support the organization as a whole. So I would just stress that as people are fundraising, I had to kind of watch my people at my nonprofit when we did our fundraiser last week and eyeball them and be like, hey, guys, you got to make it clear that it's going to the organization, you know, like that you're not just fundraising for you. I'm not so much worried about on the personal level, but that they're aware that it's going to the IRC, which That's great.
Yeah.
And so Richard Tennyson posted something today, and his was very, very nice. And I was like, oh, perfect. Yep, I know what that's about. Easy.
Yeah.
And it had your stuff that you had typed up, so.
Okay. So I've been, creating sample text. He wasn't supposed to do that quite yet, but sample text for people to post, and so that it's clear that that would be what it's going towards. And that the people who are on board for hosting little fundraisers tomorrow are super stoked about it and ready to go. But as I told Nathan, I was going to move forward just because it's kind of like last minute and it happens tomorrow. and most of the content that I've created is for the IRCs because that was what I had proposed last month and everything that I was going to move forward with. All of it kind of is text that they would then be able to personalize, but still definitely indicates that it's for the IRC, if that's how we move forward.
All right. We should probably move on here pretty soon. Any last minute thoughts on IRC? All right. Moving along to YJA, Galen was kind enough to submit a report here. Any discussion on that? All right, moving on. We actually have a report. Eric was going through some outreach and wrote this report about mentors and mentoring. Did you want to talk about this a little bit, Eric?
Yeah, so it's not a report, it's like a draft questionnaire. So I talked to Mark Neiser, and he's all in on being interviewed in terms of mentoring and who his mentors were and who he has mentored. I started the draft questionnaire, and hope that you guys could all pitch in, or at least just take a look and make sure the questions work. The first set are pretty boilerplate, and then the second set lead to the questions of mentoring, and then I got some final questions that are kind of tailored toward Mark himself, because I know him, and I want to ask him some specific questions about sort of bridging the gap between the vaudeville generation and the internet generation, sort of phrasing it that way. I also sort of talked to him just briefly about what we discussed at the vision meeting, about the legends of juggling kind of thing, and have him voice over or talk about Trixie as one of the spotlights. And he's definitely willing to do that as well. He called the IJA his family, and he's perfectly willing and eager to help us in any way he can.
Great. Yeah, so are you marking these questions? Is Mark a life member? Is this the life member campaign, or is this something different?
No. This is so there is a life member draft questionnaire also, the life member spotlight that we were talking about. But we had earlier talked about outreach between, which I actually think I may phrase under this sort of from vaudeville, between vaudeville and the internet generations kind of thing on mentoring, who your mentors were and who you have mentored. So if you look at the thing that's listed under the report, it's the questionnaire, sort of some boilerplate questions or draft questions about, what kind of advice they got from their mentors and what kind of things they'd pass on, have already passed on, and what kind of things they'd pass on to people who are asking.
Gotcha. So is this just designed to, long-time IJA members, and it'd be like a mentors and mentorship series? Is that...
Absolutely. It's part of that.
On the same page. No, I think this is good. I think it's a good idea. Now, would you have them video themselves doing this and have it edited, or would this be text-based for each of them?
So that's part of the question. My own sort of internet web capability isn't great right now. I could probably try and get to see Mark and do a voiceover, but my initial thought was to just send them the questions. I don't know what we all think is the best format to do the presentation, at least to put it on the website.
Gotcha. All right. Well, board members, what do you think?
guys, I have to drop out. If you need me, text me.
Great. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you. All right.
This is Scott. I'm fine with that. I think it's a great idea. I could see it turning into a series and just, you know, of some easy, fun, relatable content for eJuggle and a good way to connect generations.
Yeah,
that's good.
I agree.
You and David could probably be next.
Excuse me?
I said that's great because you and David should probably go next.
Well, we have the same mentor, but but certainly we have worked with some young people who have become fairly significant in the juggling world. So that there's some other people that, like Peter Davison, Dan Holtzman, some people a little bit older. We're 48. I know there's Dan Menendez. Peter Davison would be an awesome one because I know who his mentor was. But any of us, that's fine. I'd say since I'm not a full-time juggler, my brother would probably be better than me, but for interest-wise. But.
I think it's a great idea.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think if you wanted to have, like, an easy implementation, you know, shoot them the questions via text or via email, and we could whip together an eJuggle article. Obviously, let Scott, the eJuggle editor, know in advance. But if you want to explore video, that's an option, too. But, yeah, I like the way this is going. If you want to, you know, talk about this more at the vision planning meeting, that's good. But, I think this is excellent.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Anyone who's got some feedback or any additional or rewrites of the questions, let me know. And then I'll probably get that to Mark. I know he's got a Christmas gig coming up, so I want to get him. If I'm going to do these by text, I'll get him the questions in the next week or so.
Oh, I will say this. If you do this via eJuggle article, it might be nice to get a couple pictures, have the high-quality pictures of the person that you're interviewing, have those send to you, and then for they list their mentors, see if you can, like, embed some video of their mentors in the appropriate places. That would kind of tie the articles together, I think.
I like that, yeah. Okay.
No, it's just an idea. All right, great work, Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, moving on. Motions for consideration. All right, first one is the motion to approve the IRC fundraiser campaign proposal. Would someone like to make the motion?
This is Josie. I'll make the motion.
I heard Josie. Do we have a second?
This is Ian here. I'll second the motion.
Ian, thank you. All right. Moving to discussion. All right. Very substantial proposal, Aaron. Thank you for putting that together. It's very thorough, to say the least.
Sure. I went all out, guys. You said you wanted a proposal.
Yeah, you do not mess around when it comes to proposals. All right.
I could have had a sentence or two.
I'm sure you saw my comments, Aaron. You know, some of my concerns just real quickly. You know, I think this is a great thing, but, you know, one of my big concerns is it's basically kind of funneling the bulk of our holiday marketing endeavors exclusively to one campaign rather than, you know, the organization as a whole or some of our other efforts.
Right.
You know, I'm also a little concerned about, you know, the need for possibly raising so much money that it would exceed our entire operating budget just to one program. You know, that's a very lofty goal, and other than the possible stipend, I'm not sure where that money would be allotted hypothetically. And then lastly, I really like the initiative of holding an IRC-branded event, but I think it's wise to kind of get that approved in advance before having IRC kind of in-person events executed.
What's that?
Like I saw you were going to hold an IRC charity event to kind of go over IRC stuff in a public forum. I think that's great, but I kind of like the idea of being that run through the board first, just because it's an official IJA event. But I don't
have
an issue
with it. You just mean like a, I didn't mean a charity event. Oh, you mean in my town.
Yes. Again, I don't have a problem with that. I just think it's good form to kind of mention to the
board
that that's occurring.
Yeah, and none of that's confirmed. That was just part of the proposal, so.
Sure. So those are my concerns. You can either address those, or I can go to someone else if they also want to address
I can address those first, if that works.
Sure, go ahead.
Knock them out. So basically, with IRC or IJA as a whole, I guess just looking at the past trends of what I've seen, there's never been a really holiday initiative for marketing. Granted, I've been the marketing director, but it's partially because it's a big undertaking to do a crowdsourcing type of campaign or year-end fundraiser thing, and it's been discussed a lot on the board, but never implemented. And I think, again, because it's hugely time-consuming. And so I've been talking about doing a IRC fundraiser for a year or so, crowdsourcing fundraiser, and I talked about it last month, and moved forward in that direction. And also with the idea that it would be a great learning experience for me as the marketing director, because I've never done a crowdfunding campaign, and I don't know, I've learned so much in these last 3 weeks just researching it all. And part of that's been because I've been super motivated because it is my project and I have that goal objective. But kind of the idea is to then learn a lot where, I think I said this last month too, where then next year we could start, aiming to have an annual year-end fundraising campaign that does benefit the IJA as a whole. And just because I've, I think I had the whole IRC as a motivation, it's made me really kick into gear to learn what needed to be learned, and also with all the content that's been created, it's currently geared towards that to be able to launch. But I do think it's a great idea to have a year-end fundraiser in the future for the IJA as a whole. I totally think that's great. It's never happened in the past, but I think moving forward it'd be a great thing to do, as long as somebody has the time and energy to invest in that.
And how, hypothetically, how would you earmark this money, or what kind of contributed to your goal of $50,000, and how would that be spent?
It's all mapped out in the budget, I guess. That was kind of like the amount that I had originally wanted to raise this year. It was actually $7,000. And again, these are lofty goals. This is after talking to some fundraisers who do this for big nonprofits and stuff, and they're like, oh, $70,000 is really small. And I was like, whatever. But yeah, I think I had written you being like, I don't know. Or no, we talked on the phone and I said, I don't know how much is good to shoot for. And then it was kind of just this Facebook fundraising matching thing coming out saying it could match up to $50,000. But just made me say, why not go for that goal? That's what we have in the budget as what we need, to match, like the ideal of what would be possible for IRCs in 2018. And then we learn. If that's too much, we know. If it's too little, we know. If we actually raise that amount, that would be pretty awesome. But then it would be the main fundraising we need to do for the entire year for the IRC. So that was the reasoning.
Okay.
I have a question.
That answers my... Go ahead, Martin.
Is the doubling, is the matching, which I guess is done by Microsoft, is that guaranteed?
It's up to $2 million. So they're donating $2 million to anybody who donates to a nonprofit to match that for tomorrow. But once the $2 million is out, then it no longer counts. So it just kind of depends on how much is raised. But it is guaranteed up to $50,000 for a nonprofit until the $2 million amount lapses.
So the sooner the better, I suppose, is what that means.
So the sooner the better, exactly. And I have chatted with a couple of people who had already pledged.
We don't have to
pledged.
Qualify. We're automatically qualified as a nonprofit.
We're automatically qualified. And I've done so much research on it. What's that?
You just need to sign us up through Facebook on this thing.
Well, basically, people can either host a fundraiser, so individuals can host a fundraiser on their platform, targeting the IJA, which I've tested all the different buttons, and we pop up as an option to select, or we can post things on our pages and select
us as the recipients of a donate button, and then that money, yeah, gets funneled to IJA.
And the money itself goes to Facebook, and then they pay the IJA?
So the thing I applied for, let me just bring up the little document because I can't, this would be helpful for me to send to you guys too. The thing I signed up for that we're still pending is where all the money would go directly through Facebook. What we currently are qualified for is where Facebook is partnered with this, I don't want to be able to tell you guys the name of it, just a second.
You current?
Yeah. I think. Geocaring? All right. I believe it's Geocaring. That sounds correct. I had all these things open. But I looked it up a bunch today, and I was reading everything. Basically, because we're listed on GuideStar, Network for Good is the name. And that's who they're partnered with Facebook to, for anyone who's not signed up through Facebook payments to get the money, and then they send it to us directly, through the address listed on GuideStar. Do you know what that is, Nathan?
I'm sorry, say that again, Erin.
GuideStar, have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, it's basically a thing that lists nonprofits and like their contact information, and I looked this up and there was your name as our CEO, it said, and also our mailing address and information about us and stuff, so we're proper standing.
Did it have our
it had our post office box.
Post office box?
Yep. Yep.
Okay,
I wonder if they aggregated that from somewhere.
Right, I feel like it comes through our taxes, paying our taxes potentially.
Oh, yeah, I just saw here it says from forms 990, so yeah, they would have gotten that updated in the form from their 990s, which are publicly accessible through. Yeah, okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, I've gone through GuideStar before looking up like places to donate to, and you can see their ratings, I believe, and
yeah,
that sort
yeah,
of stuff, and
cool.
Kind of gives a good overview of nonprofits and how the money's spent and things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So because we're not officially approved yet for Facebook, we tried to get it done. I was writing like, I need the information because it's weeks or something, and it was at the two-week mark. But it says we're pending just on the final stage of the Facebook payments one, but it still goes with this Network for Good that's connected with GuideStar, and the payments that come to the IJA. So we're all signed up, essentially.
All right. Trying to stay on topic of this proposal. Any more questions, comments, feedback from people?
What about if, say we approve the proposal and the money comes in, like say half of what you want or something, or half of what's wanted, would we then still contribute from our annual budget the rest, you know, what we're contributing right now to the IRC? Or can we kind of essentially take back that money and use it for other programs? And then IRC kind of has its own budget at that point. So we could get enough back to then put money back into eJuggle and other things where other people have been looking for money for their projects.
Yeah, I think that's a great goal. And that's definitely, if we're able to raise enough where we can just eliminate the IJA contribution, I would love to do that. And that's kind of been a goal as far as the fundraising piece goes. I have it on the budget right now just because that was the agreement last year. Whatever enough to cover only whatever IRCs, I don't know. Then it's there and earmarked. But yeah, ideally if we raised enough to eliminate that, I think that would be awesome.
Just for on a technical note, you wouldn't be eliminating the IJA donation. You'd be eliminating the previously approved IJA portion because this new piece would be an IJA donation or spending on the IRC. This is still an IJA project.
Yes, I guess
Right, it's all coming from the IJA, essentially. Yeah, it would be through the IJA general budget contribution that doesn't come from outside donors earmarked for the IRCs. And the other piece to just acknowledge is if we don't raise that amount, you know, I put in the IRC director stipend based on knowing how much work is involved. Also, that. Currently, I can't really, if we grow this to the IRCs, I couldn't really feasibly see myself being able to work another job or anything like that, or whoever's the IRC director. But so say we don't earn enough to have all of the IRCs, or for the IRC director to receive 3,000, this would all just be kind of built out based on how much we were able to raise, would be my thought. This is kind of like, if we can do it all, cool. If not, then let's reassess and see what's realistic. And if that means not doing 9 IRCs, that means not doing 9 IRCs and be talking to some of the people that are interested.
Great. So your idea is to kind of go forward with it, see how much we get, and then figure out the budget from there a little bit, lowering the IRC
right.
director price and like all those sorts of things, and make it a little
right.
more realistic to fit the actual money we received at that point.
Mm-hmm. I suppose
great,
so, yeah.
great.
And this fundraising would end on December 31st?
Mm-hmm. And if we magically raised $50,000 tomorrow, which I would say is a huge long shot, and we're doubled and had $100,000, I mean, that too, I would be able to adjust. Like, there's certain things that the IRC could really benefit from to take things to the next level and to take the IJA to the next level as a whole, like promoting, you know, ways to start then promoting more things like membership and general donations to the IJA and stuff. But like a video team person, like somebody who's actually in charge of creating the media for the IRCs that like creates a cohesive brand and does the video taping, the video editing, makes it super polished. Like those are the types of things that for next level to like start appealing to corporate sponsorships like GoPro or things like that, you know, having that media piece dialed in would be
mm-hmm.
would be huge. Like, we're doing pretty good with my little phone recordings and my little phone edits, but actually taking the media to the next level would be the next step, I think. So, yeah.
All right, board members, did you read the proposal? Any final thoughts, questions before we move to a vote?
Yes. So say we vote yes and this goes through, the next step, Aaron, you would be putting out to us and to other people the kind of words we can use and the ways we can set up our own individual proposals, and then you're going to be going heavy on promoting it through all the IJA channels.
Yeah, so this launches at like 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, so talk about last minute. but everything's set and ready to be launched. You know, Taylor made this awesome video for us, which is just beautiful if anyone saw it. And yeah, so basically I've got a list of posts that I've made, and so anyone who's on the board right now who is interested in kind of hosting a fundraiser as well and promoting that tomorrow, you could let me know and I could include you in the kind of, we've started a little Facebook group to communicate with each other and where I can make posts saying, okay guys, here's your text and here's your video to promote at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning Eastern Standard Time, you know, and kind of strategizing together. So, and that would be for the Facebook one. And then as far as the U membership one, just kind of starting, or the U Caring, sorry, like month-long campaign, making a big push tomorrow and then kind of just doing a more moderate push for the rest of the month, with occasional posts and.
Okay, so tomorrow is the matching funds one?
Yes.
But the rest of the month is just more of a, is not matching funds.
A general crowdfunding campaign.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Great, great.
I'm a little confused. There's two different fund drives you seem to be talking about, one of which has matching funds and one of, or potentially matching funds, and one of which doesn't. Why would we put any effort in driving people toward the one that doesn't have matching funds?
Because tomorrow's only a one-day thing, the matching funds.
The matching funds is just one day.
It's just one day.
Okay.
It's all kind of last minute at this point. We're doing the best we can, considering that I found out about this a week ago. And Matan, I just want to give huge props to Matan, too, because he and I have been little brainstorming masters. But, yeah, so that's just for one day, and that would kind of be the big kickoff for, like, the month-long general campaign that isn't matching funds.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, any final thoughts?
I assume you've contacted or will contact all your, you know, promised donors to make their donations
exactly.
on the day when it's going to be doubled. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Neil, Fred, and I've already got two donors who have agreed to do that tomorrow morning, bright and early. And I've even got the, because also the other piece, in case you guys didn't remember, is each donation button or fundraiser, personal fundraiser that somebody hosts, can only be matched up to $1,000. So the whole goal, I feel, of Facebook was to like have people mobilize their communities. And so when I saw that, I was like, we've got a pretty awesome online community. We can mobilize. and so that's why we've got several different people willing to host fundraisers, personal fundraisers, and promote it to their networks. And so, one guy said he'd host a fundraiser, but he was like, I don't have a big network. And I was like, well, I just have this donor who's already committed to donating $1,000. He could just do it right through his fundraiser, and then it's doubled. If that makes sense. So, we're all squared away.
All right, let's just move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Anyone abstain? Motion passes. Go ahead and implement, Aaron. Thank you very much for your efforts.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Good luck, Aaron!
Thanks. And anyone who is interested in helping out tomorrow, let me know in a message on Facebook.
Great.
Moving on to motion B, the motion to approve the holding of the IRC Africa 2018. Motion is attached. The proposal rather. So would someone like to make this motion?
Scott, I'll make the motion.
Thanks, Scott. Do we have a second?
Ian, this is Eric.
All right, I think I heard an Ian come through. All right, any discussion?
I like the idea of expanding the IRC program. However, after hearing that we're operating at a loss this year, I'm concerned about approving that.
Okay. So just to be clear, other than if you look at the budget, we have enough donated funds that are earmarked already for the IRCs to pay for these two for sure, just so you know. If that answers that, addresses that.
Yeah, great. That is helpful.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
That was my concern too, but I'm glad to hear that this one is funded. I mean, I think we've all heard that the IRCs are causing the really big stir for internationally. So, I'm glad to hear that these are actually earmarked already.
Yeah.
All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to motion C, motion to approve holding the IRC Mexico 2018, attached to the proposal. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louis, I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Any seconds?
I'll second.
Yeah.
Eric?
Oof. It's always the second that people fight over. I think I heard an Eric on that one. And no one likes to jump in, but as soon as one person jumps in the second, they just butthead. Dig it. All right. Any discussion here? All right. Moving right to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. IRCs.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thank
fun,
you,
Aaron.
Aaron. Thank you much.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move to 7, Viria. We got a couple items here. The first one is the IJ Facebook group. So I guess, Okay, I kind of wanted to discuss this with the whole board as well as get thoughts from our communications director because it relates to internal communication. So we've had an IJA Facebook group just for the board for a couple years. It's been mainly just for announcements, reminders about board meetings, quick bits of news, that sort of thing. And then we use email and the forums for more substantial ideas, issues, etc. And the idea has become, if we want to open up the IJA Facebook group for the board to become more of an officer's group, where anybody that's an IJA officer can be in this group, and then using it to a greater scale for things like posting proposals and general communications and so forth. So I just kind of wanted to get everyone's idea about change. If we wanted to, one, change it not just from an IJA board group, but an IJA board and officers private group. And two, if we wanted to expand our communications through that means, or if that would just muck up our already multi-channeled communication streams. So I'll open this up to the board, then Martin, if you want to chime in as well.
This is Scott. One thing I'll say is on the emails, a lot of my emails go to junk that are IJA emails, and I always have to keep pulling them out. Even if I try to mark the person as safe, keep going to junk. So using the Facebook page would be good. I'd almost maybe recommend that we have two groups. We have one that is strictly board, and one that is board and officers, and that we try to do our communication there. Now that does make an assumption that all board and officers are on Facebook, although to my knowledge the ones I know of are, but just email, it's hard to keep the history of it, and as well as some going to my junk, and that may be happening to other people too.
Okay, other board members' thoughts, comments?
I was actually going to go the other way. I mean, I'm using Google a lot and using Facebook less, but if there's an email filtering issue for some folks, I can see moving to more of the Facebook stuff. It wouldn't be my preference to say that.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, our boards are not getting much action these days. Not much is going on the YM boards. It seems like most communication is through email these days. That's where I see most of the discussions happening. Even our Facebook group right now is barely used. Like you said, it's just like, reminder meeting tonight is about it so far.
You bring up a point that we do have the forums, the board and board plus forums, two different forums on your membership site. And they've gotten almost no usage. I'm not sure if Facebook is better than that or different, but those forums are in fact a good way to keep track of threads, keep all the comments together, and to just look back historically at what discussions have included. I'm not sure why that mechanism has sort of fallen out of favor, but it's there and it's available for all of you right now.
Yeah, I think it's ease of use or something. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
It's easy to pop in your email because you're going there almost every day anyway. Easy to pop into Facebook because you're almost there every day, and the forums are rarely checkable. I only check when an email comes through. I go to the forums.
Yeah, I agree. The forums. Yeah. I'd rather do email over the forums personally. And if no one else has that same issue, I'm certainly fine to use email. I certainly, as long as it comes into my inbox, I'll always see an email. And you might not with the group chats on Facebook.
I'll
just chime in because I think it was me being added to the Facebook group that kind of spurred this conversation. I've seen the forums kind of dying over the last several years, or just not being as used as much, and then email becoming kind of a thing. I just kind of thought, like, in this process for creating the fundraising proposal, for example, I would have really loved to have, like, a clear, just kind of
hey guys, here's my idea. Let's chat about this and let me get some feedback from you guys, like right off the bat, rather than like a huge massive proposal through the email, just kind of like a, hey, this is my idea. This is what I'm working on. Cause yeah, I would have liked it to be more of kind of a feedback as I went type of thing, and kind of checking in and not necessarily, I feel like when I'm doing an email, it has to be like a big substantial thing. and maybe I'm wrong there, but so that's where I thought it would be nice occasionally to be like, hey guys, I've got this idea, let's chat about it, and kind of just a discussion type thing. And just me personally, I check Facebook far more than email, but that's why I was kind of excited about a Facebook group concept.
I'm in support of the idea of a Facebook group. I think that it would be likely to get used more, since Facebook groups have become a thing. All of the forums online that I participated in pretty much died out, and now there's just Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of people are on Facebook a lot anyways, and you can get notifications that there's something happening in that group. I don't know that I would want to, like, conduct any official business through the Facebook group, but like, having a spot to say, like, hey, I've got this idea would be really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Like my formal proposal for the fundraiser, for example, definitely should have gone through email, but actually just discussing, like, the options for the hosting option, you know, the crowdfunding option and stuff. I think that kind of stuff could easily be done in Facebook.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, board members, this. Do you like the idea of which would you think makes the most sense, having two Facebook groups, one for board, one for board and officers, or just opening up the board one to, you know, board and officers?
I think if we're going to do this, we just do one. I mean, the groups is small enough, and I think we should just do one. And if we have to, and as we move to official business for the board, I think we move that to email.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
I agree.
Yep, that's fine with me, too.
Okay, so how about this? For the plan, I can go in and open up. I can send out an email to the IJ.board plus or whatever and say, you know, we're opening up the private group to all officers. If you'd like to be involved, please respond. Then I can add those people to the group. I can update their descriptions, and we can use that primarily as a communication source. However, if there's any proposals or straw polls, those will be conducted via email. How does that sound?
Great.
Sounds good to me.
I like
Facebook.
Are you okay with that, Martin?
Yeah, I guess I'm the one person who doesn't use Facebook.
Yeah.
You're the outlier, Mr. Communications.
Correct.
But I am...
That's okay.
You know, I've heard people say, well, I heard Erin say she's looking at Facebook all the time, so I'm looking at email all the time. I mean, that's my job, actually, looking at email. Literally, my job, responding about computer issues at Stanford. And so I'm looking at that all the time. But... You know, I'm not a necessary cog here for the Facebook wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, in a way, like, when it gets to the point where we need you, we will be most likely going to an email. Or we know where we can reach you at that point.
You do.
Yeah. As long as you don't object to this, and like we've communicated, Martin, I don't think this is not going to be done for any, like, official businesses as it relates to polling or proposals. I guess it's mainly just immediate feedback, that sort of thing. So
I'm kind of keeping the ball rolling, the plate spinning on certain projects, or when somebody has a great idea, to get a little bit of feedback on it before they go whole hog or anything.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're all on the same page. Any final thoughts, guys?
This is Ian here.
Very
like
nice. All right, action item, Nathan, send out board plus email and update group. Moving on to Varia item B, Guinness World Records. I forwarded out the proposal from Guinness that they sent to Alan Howard that he then forwarded to me that I then forwarded to the board. So I just kind of want to see if there was any additional feedback on it. It was kind of vague, but basically if we wanted to give Alan any kind of directive in terms of his communication with DNS.
This is Scott. I'm sorry. I think I dropped the ball on this because I said I would take a look at this in life. It's just gotten in the way of that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Here's the issue about Guinness is if you looked at recent years ones, they have odd categories. I mean, it's not our typical numbers of who can juggle the most objects the longest. They're who can juggle five balls upside down while saying the alphabet, or who can juggle
kind of weird stuff. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
three quarters really. In one hand and a ring and two rings in the other hand. So almost to do it, we'd almost have to say, hey, you're going to have these 10 records, and we'd have to pick 10 records and say, if you want to, if you want to compete in this, compete. Which I do think would get some people that would be interested in doing it. But it'd be a matter of actually picking those records and having Guinness be okay with them. The general thing of having Guinness there or having Guinness representatives there and being able to advertise ahead of time, hey, here's an opportunity to set some Guinness records and here are the categories, I think is great and would be a great marketing thing. It's just a matter of picking what those categories are because they do go on the weird side.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So how about this? Here's two options. We could all either do kind of like an as we desire, kind of a group bump to that email just to get the momentum going. Or if we all feel pretty conclusive based on what your thoughts tonight, Scott, I can just send Alan an email saying, if Guinness is interested, have them send us a proposal of specific records we can choose from. And if we like any of them, we'll agree to it. But we need specific what they have in mind. So either of those options, I think, would make sense. What do you guys think?
This is Aguro. I would like for Guinness to send us some records that they would like to see attempted, that we could do. But I also think that it could be potentially fun for us to choose a couple records that like engage a lot of people in some action.
Agreed. Something
okay.
A lot of people could participate in. The longest,
like,
three juggle.
Yeah,
you know,
the
most people juggling five ball at one time.
Yeah.
Oh, something like that, too.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Do you guys want to just kind of, like, send out your thoughts in that thread, then? And then we can kind of facilitate Alan to kind of call our responses and send those over to Guinness? Are you guys okay responding to that thread independently?
Yeah, that would be a great... Facebook group thread that we could start there too, because people, as they come up with things, can think of something kind of pop in there.
This I might recommend doing via email, because when we already have an email thread, and two, that way Alan is kind of in the loop with it.
Okay,
but,
great.
But yeah, it's one of those things too. Once someone replies, that'll probably kind of prompt everyone else, like, oh yeah, I should, get my feedback. So, all right, just. Somebody, actually, no, let's do some ownership here. Who wants to take ownership of sending out the first response?
This is Xero. I'll send one out tomorrow.
Weren't you the only person that did respond, Xero?
Maybe.
Maybe it should be someone else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be like...
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that thread yet. I don't know. Okay.
All right. I'll bump it, and then everyone else, you guys can come on too. So, action item Nathan, shoot out a bump. And then once we get your feedback, we'll kind of cultivate this into a response, and we can send that over. Go from there. Sound good?
Great.
Good.
Cool, guys. I like it. All right, moving on to item 8, executive session. So we're going to hop into executive session real quick. I got a... all right, would somebody like to make a motion to enter executive session?
This is Ian here. I'll make
Bye, guys. I'm peacing out.
Bye.
Thanks, Aaron. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Aaron.
I think I heard... Can you confirm, Ian? Ian, did you in fact make the motion?
Yes.
All right. Do we have a second?
This is Xero, I'll second.
Xero, thank you. Moving to discussion, I would prefer this be board only, although I will also invite Communications Director Martin Frost to listen in if he wants to as it relates to various matters of communication and allotment and whatnot. So,
would
right,
you like me to type this in a separate...
Yes.
A separate document and then email it to you later in the board?
Exactly, yes. Board, DC Mark, yes.
Let me grab
exactly
that up
right
here. Hold on.
Okay. Well, he's doing that. Does anybody oppose entering executive session? Would anyone like to abstain? All right, down the rabbit hole into executive session. Just a second.
All right, I'm ready.
Is the recording off?
Okay, we have exited executive session. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say?
So I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. Eric, what would you like your motion to be?
I'd like to make a motion that we grant the eJuggle editor the ability to send trade 44 of his IJA memberships for a life membership for a distinguished contributor.
Okay. Does somebody want to second this?
This is Xero. I'll second the motion.
Excellent. Any discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions?
This is Scott. I will abstain.
All right. Let the record show that Scott Kane has abstained. Any other abstentions? All right. Motion passes. All right, guys.
Give me a second here to, will you guys really quick go over the phrasing of the motion and who,
yes.
Who made that
Eric
first
made
motion?
Motion?
I just kind of, okay, great.
Let me help you out here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Cool. We had Scott abstain. Everyone else is for. Motion passed. All right, guys.
Great.
Moving on cool. to December. We have a vision planning meeting in 2 weeks. That would put us at Monday the 11th. 2 weeks after that would be Christmas Day. Presumably, we don't want to do that. So we could either have a vision planning meeting on the 4th All right, I would strongly advocate to have the next business meeting on the 18th instead of Christmas Day. Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do the 18th. So do you guys want to have a vision planning meeting on the 4th or the 11th? Conversely, we could also scrap it. It's not required by bylaws. So either next week or the week after.
This is Scott. I may have a funeral a week from today.
Okay. Do you guys want to shoot for the 11th?
Sure.
Dave Finnegan's birthday?
Is it?
Whose birthday?
Dave Finnegan?
Yeah.
For some reason, it's in my calendar. I don't know
Professor
why.
Professor Confidence.
Got stuck in there somehow.
I was going to say Professor Confidence. All right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Just a quick note there, Louis. 11th will be the vision planning meeting.
18th. Great.
The 18th will be the board meeting. So I just need you to kind of juxtapose that date.
Great, great.
Okay, guys. You got that in there, Louis?
Yes.
Oh, Cool. Six flat tops. All right. With that, guys, moving to adjournment. Does someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Scott. I'll make it.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for sticking it out, guys. Kind of a long meeting, but we got a lot done, so thank you much. Any additional discussion?
No.
Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose adjournment? Any abstentions? Meeting adjourned at 9:44 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Take care.
See you.